of really nice treats for you. We have something that is new for us, at least. It is the debut episode of Harry Strange. And then after that, we're going to be taking a listen to something new from our old friends at Campfire Radio Theater. So we have both of those coming up for us in just a moment here at CITR 101.9 FM.
Magic and magical people, the unnatural order is all around us. There are white witches, black witches, demons, vamps, werewolves, shapeshifters, ghosts. It's a protoplasmic party of creature features out there. But unless you know where to look, you won't find them. I know where to look. My name is Harry Strange. After you've been in my racket for a couple of years, you think you've seen everything. Cheating spouses? Please, that tune got old after 6 months. Double-crossing partners? The only partners I know who didn't double-cross each other were Marley and Scrooge. I'd seen child abductions, parental abductions, black male, white male, and green male. I'd even seen my share of poltergeist, witchcraft, and demon possessions. But I'd never seen anyone turned inside out before. And let me tell you, brother, that's the kind of thing that'll put you off red meat for a while. It was about 3 years ago, during the heat wave of 2007. Business had been routine and slow. As a general rule, when a private eye tells you his job is routine, it means it's been cheating spouse week and no one has shot at him. It's the same way in my particular genre, with the added bonus that I haven't turned up any voodoo dolls that look like my clients, or worse, yours truly. Like I said, I'd wrapped up a couple of divorce cases and recovered some stolen property. I would have gone home for the day, except home was here, upstairs in a two-bedroom flat, where no one was waiting for me. Oh, I'd been married once, to the most wonderful woman in the world. I know, every palooka who walks in here with a sob story about their wife says the same thing. It's practically a cliché. Difference was, it was true about my Maddie. I know, they say that too. A swarthy Eastern European type stole Maddie from me. Mr. Eurotrash was, well, still is, a vampire. It took about a year, but I finally caught up with my Maddie. She was fully vamp by then, and if you'll pardon the expression, out for blood. It broke my heart, but I pumped a clip of silver-filled 45 slugs into her and then decapitated her with a sword of Yarlin. I stuffed her neck with garlic. And, just for good measure, I burned the remains and scattered the ashes in 5 different church graveyards. I couldn't destroy her head, though. She always had the most beautiful eyes. The Eurotrash boyfriend? Sorry to say, I haven't caught up with him. Yet.
Are you Mr. Strange? Mr. Harry Strange?
That's what it says on the door, sister.
I've heard a lot about you. I believe you will help me.
Most people ask if I can help them, not tell me I will. Okay, sister, let's start out easy. What's your name?
Lil.
Lil was attractive in a Soviet bloc sort of way. Who am I kidding? She was beautiful regardless of where she was from. Her lips were moist, ruby red, and begging to be kissed. She was built like a pin-up queen and held herself like royalty. It's been my experience that a bird that looks like hers was always going to be trouble for the sad sack who thought he had her caged. Because you can never cage a woman like her. A man could hold on to her for a while. She'd lull him into thinking she was his, but when she became bored or distracted, she'd move on, and he'd be left as an empty, pathetic husk of a man he once was.
I'm sorry, Mr. Strange. Did you say something?
What? No, I was just thinking. So what is it you believe I may help you with, Lil?
My ex-lover stole some very rare and priceless stones from me. I want you to find and return them.
When you say them...
Just the stones. You can leave him where you find him.
Did you file a police report?
I'd rather keep the police out of this.
Why? Did you steal the stones from someone?
I never take what isn't freely offered, Mr. Strange. I am, however, involved in a lifestyle that requires a level of discretion.
There are 100 other guys in this city who do what I do, though not as well, of course. Why me?
Two reasons, Mr. Strange. You know to be discreet, and you have an excellent reputation among my people.
Your people?
These stones have certain properties that I wouldn't trust to just anyone, and certainly not the police.
I'm not sure I understand.
If it's the money, Mr. Strange, consider your fee doubled.
Double my fee? This bird must really need my help. I gave her the once over a second time. Yeah, she had money. Those 5-inch designer heels she was wearing probably cost more than my entire suit. Hell, probably more than my entire wardrobe.
Mr. Strange, if you're done leering at my cleavage, I would like an answer before you grow too old to do the job.
That's not likely to happen. On the surface, her story was a common one. A jilted lover, a stolen object. That the stones possessed some magic properties made it more interesting. Lil didn't go into detail about what those properties were, and I didn't ask. I was bugged by the fact that she could have just as easily gone to the police or some other private dick, left out the part about the magic, and they would have been just as happy to search it out for her. There was more to this story than she was letting on. Of course, among the magic types, there always is. It's not common knowledge, but it's a protoplasmic party of creature features out there. All sorts of nightmare beasties are around us all the time. Most of us humans, however, can't see the reality of what's in front of us because we're too busy seeing the reality we think is there. Lil left a picture of the stones, a picture of her ex and my retainer. She told me she'd be in touch. I studied the picture of her ex. He looked like a regular working-class schmuck. How he scored a woman like Lil was the true mystery. The three stones were equally nondescript red stones, each about the size of an eyeball. I was a happy guy, though. This job couldn't take that long. And at double my fee, this would be a good week indeed. I couldn't find any information on the stones. This was looking increasingly like a family heirloom deal. But why pay double the rate to some private dick for something handed down from great-great-grandma? Unless, of course, it was great-great-grandma and one of the stones. Since the search was a bust, I did the thing I always do when I need to find stolen charmed property. I went to see Phineas the Fence. Freaky Finny's place was near the dock. Most things unnatural in Nightfalls were by the docks.
Smells like human spirit in here. I hate that smell.
How about if I rip your nose off again? Would that help the smell?
Don't touch me, Strange. It took a year for the wounds to heal last time. You're going to get yours, tough guy. And I'm going to laugh when that happens.
Yeah, whatever. Take a look at this picture, Fanny. Never seen those before?
Tell me again why I should help you.
Because if I find out you knew something and didn't tell me, I'll come back here with a holy cocktail again. Only this time, maybe I'll pour it down your throat instead of just coating my dagger with it.
Right. How did a hairless ape like you become such a problem to a charmed like me?
Charmed? That's a bit much for... What the hell are you? A gargoyle? Imp?
Imp! I hate that word.
Would you prefer gremlin? Weasel? Fairy? How about lawn gnome?
I would prefer to see your head on a stick.
And I would prefer to be talking to someone who didn't smell like they spent the night on the inside of a rabid Rottweiler. Do you know what these are or not?
Whoa, Strange. Do you know what those are?
Yeah, I just came for the witty banner. What the hell do you think I've been asking you?
You're right about hell. This is beyond trinket level, Harry. This is serious mojo.
And what does that mean exactly?
If someone tried to hawk those in here, I'd kill them myself. Then I'd burn the place down.
Why? What are they?
No. One shouldn't even say its name out loud. The creature carrying those will not be long in this world.
Who would he bring it to?
Not me. Listen, Strange. Nothing would make me happier than to see you roasting on a spit in hell. But even you don't deserve what the owner of those stones will do if they find them with you. You need to go, Strange.
I reached across the counter and grabbed Finny by his scrawny shoulders and pulled him towards me. Up close, he smelled worse, like rotting fish that's been laying on a sunbaked beach for 3 weeks. Tell me what they are.
Okay, let go of me. I'll tell you.
I pushed him back against the wall. I'm waiting, Finny.
Yeah, well, wait in hell!
In all the years I've known Finny, I'd never seen him pull that disappearing act. Whatever these stones were, they am frightened more than the thought of me coming back with a holy cocktail. With no leads here, I decided to head over to Haxon's. A little darts and a drink would be just what I needed for thinking. From the front, Haxon's looks like an abandoned warehouse. Most humans walk right by it and never see it for what it is. A trans-dimensional portal between Earth and a million other realms. I ordered my usual and sat down next to the dartboards. Haxon's is neutral territory, and the owners employ the largest grog demons to enforce the neutrality pact. Most humans are not welcomed here. I was one of the lucky ones. If a human stumbled in here accidentally, a complicated cloaking spell would make all the patrons appear to be human biker types, when they were actually other world species who make the cantina scene in Star Wars look like a local Sunday school assembly. Because of my relationship with the Unnatural Order, I could see through most cloaking spells. That was one of the reasons I was so good at my job. I had just busted with a Trip 13 when who should walk in but the ex-boyfriend. It made sense. You have something magical to sell, and I was sure there was a sale going on. Haxon's would be the place to find a buyer. I waited and watched. After ordering a drink and some buffalo wings, he walked past me towards a table near the back. He wasn't any better looking up close, but he did have some wild tribal tattoos coming up from under his shirt. Some type of protection spell, I would guess. A few minutes later, he was joined by a huge man-like thing. Ah, crap. It was an Alfeshni. I hate Nalfs. First off, they're some of the ugliest demons you'll ever see, which is saying something. They're about the size of a gorilla with the head of a wild boar and the disposition to match. The Nalf sat with the X. If the Nalfs were involved, then Finny was right. These stones were more than just heirlooms. From the body language, it was obvious that some negotiating was taking place. I slid into the booth behind them, hoping to hear the details. I stole a quick glance at the table. There were no stones, but there was a photograph face down. After a few seconds, the Nalf mumbled something that sounded like where. I was able to make out the word safe, but little else. The Nalf grumbled something in his native tongue, and the X snapped back. Their voices were starting to get loud. It wouldn't be long before one of the security guards came over. Since Haxon's was a neutral ground between the dimensions, a place where deals could be made in relative safety, Haxon's took security very seriously. Of course, once you stepped outside the grounds, all bets were off. I got up to go to the bar and stole a quick glimpse in their direction. They weren't arguing so much as they were negotiating a price. By the time I got my drink and returned to the table, some arrangement had been made. The human picked up his photo, did a little head nod towards the Nalf, and left. After a second, the demon did the same, though he headed for one of the doors in the back. I waited about 30 seconds to make sure the Nalf wasn't coming back, and then I went the same way as the X. It was getting darker when I stepped outside of Haxon's. There was a cold wind blowing in from the river, cutting through my clothes and slicing into my bones like shards of glass cutting through paper. Odd, considering how hot it was earlier. The X was about a block ahead of me when I saw him duck into an alley. If these stones were as strong as I was beginning to believe they were, the X was going to start a bidding war for them. He didn't realize that treating magic heirlooms like baseball cards on eBay was frowned on by the Unnaturals. It was like how a Catholic would feel about auctioning off the Eucharist. I turned into the alley in time to see four goons with no necks step out of a side door and grab the X. He put up an acceptable fight until one of the goons pulled out a cattle prod and smacked him on the back of the head. The X collapsed like a cheap lawn chair. When he stopped twitching and peeing, the other three goons picked him up and took him into the building. If the X had the stones on him, he wouldn't for long. I needed to keep up with where they went until I could figure out a way to recover them for my client. Of course, I wasn't going to walk into a nest of demons or vampires to do it. I made my way carefully, quietly, through what was probably a receiving office. From all the broken glass and busted office furniture, I was guessing that this place hadn't been officially used in years. I wandered in the dark, catching a whiff of something acidic in the air. Brimstone? There was a light coming from under a door near the back. I put my ear to it. Yep, this is where the X ended up. I found a ladder and made my way up to a catwalk above the room. From my perch, I watched the goons working over the boyfriend. They had a process going that almost spoke to an intelligence beyond their level. One goon, the one who had mastered speech, asked the X a question. When he didn't answer right away, the other three took turns using his head like a whack-a-mole. The high-intensity light bulb hanging freely from an electrical cord over the X's head illuminated the streams of blood running down his face. Even from here, it was obvious his nose was broken and well on his way to becoming a permanently disfigured bag of blood, snot, and cartilage. The good news? Well, okay, the better-than-bad news was that the goons were humans. If they were magic, they would be doing a lot more damage than just some facial reconstruction, and they wouldn't be getting their hands dirty to do it. Their human status also meant they could be taken down easily with my .45. This little dance went on for a few more minutes before the talking goon raised a hand the size of a ham hock. He and the other little piglets left the room, probably to talk to whoever was in charge. I didn't see the ex give them anything, and the only thing they took from him was his blood. So I figured if I was going to get the stones, now would be the best time.
Up close, the ex looked like a bad Picasso. His nose was practically flattened against his face. Blood was flowing freely from both nostrils. His left eye was swollen shut, and his right eye stared into space. I couldn't say for sure if he saw anything. His lip was swollen to the size of a plum. His jaw was angry purple. I needed to get him and the stones out of here. If the goons couldn't beat it out of him, he surely wasn't going to tell me just because of my ample good looks and hypnotic charm. Did you say something? There was a smell in the air that I hadn't noticed before. It was sweet, but there was something underneath. Something that smelled like death, and I had smelled it recently.
Lil sent you.
Yeah, Chief. Lil sent me. She wants her stones back. Yeah, I know. That sounded a lot better in my head.
You've killed me.
Not me, Chief. I just followed you here. Every time he spoke, drops of blood sprayed from his mouth.
She is watching.
Look, give me the stones and I'll get you out of here.
I'm never leaving this room alive, and neither are you.
If I had a nickel for every time I heard that... Look, friend, there are only three of them. I can take them out while drinking a chai. Tell me where the stones are and I can get you out into a doctor who will fix you up. But you have to tell me where the stones are. That's all Lil wants. Did I say something funny, champ?
You don't know Lil. You don't know what she is. She wants me and the stones.
Actually, friend, she doesn't want you. And the sooner you accept that and give me the stones, the sooner we can all go home.
You are blind. Don't you know who she is?
I thought I heard footsteps. Listen, Sparky, someone's coming. Unless you want those goons to finish your nose job, you need to tell me where they are and you need to do it now.
It's not...
I turned to see the door open. I reached for my holster and drew my .45. I didn't want to have a shootout here. I knew I could take out the three goons, but I didn't know how many others were waiting. I stepped to the side of the door. My plan was to wait until all three were in and bust a cap in each of their heads. I leaned against the wall, my .45 pointing up towards the ceiling. I was close enough to smell the metal of the barrel and the gun oil. The door pushed open, its metal base scratching against the cement floor. Imagine my surprise when, instead of a pair of black pants and cheap shoes, I saw a pair of 5-inch red pumps and legs that seemed to go on forever.
Hello, Mr. Strange.
She spoke without turning to see me. Lil, what are you doing here?
You led her right to me. What an idiot.
Lil, this isn't a safe place for you.
You really don't know who she is, do you? You're the dumbest human being on the face of the planet.
Coming from a man whose face had been reduced to meatloaf made me think he was either delirious or a genius. What are you talking about?
She is evil incarnate.
Don't be like that, honey. Just because we broke up doesn't mean we can't be friends.
Stay away from me, Lil.
Shh. Come on, honey. Look what they've done to you.
Don't touch me. You, my hammer. Whatever your name is, don't let her touch me.
She caressed his face, gently brushing his hair out of his eyes. She took a scarf out of her purse and started dabbing at his torn flesh.
They will pay for this, honey. Remember how it used to be between us? I loved you. I still have feelings for you. You don't need to suffer like this. It's only because of the stones. They didn't take them from you, did they? You do still have them, right?
The boyfriend said nothing. But he was trying to pull back from her touch.
Where are the stones, honey? Please tell me.
She moved her hand gently across his face. Then, when she got to the pulpy mess that used to be his nose, She grabbed it between her thumb and forefinger and started to twist.
Where are my stones, you worthless little maggot?
Hey, what's going on in here?
Lil, look out!
I took aim at the goon, but Lil stepped in front of me.
Back, cretin! I command you!
I stood slack-jawed as the talking goon froze where he stood. He looked to Lil, then me, then back to Lil again. The goon looked like a stupid kid trying to solve a math problem. In the next second, he burst into flames. The room quickly filled with the smell of barbecued pork. He ran around in circles, flailing his arms and trying to put himself out. In about a minute, he fell down, tried to stand, and fell again. This time, he didn't get up. His skin was charred and melting in places. He was still burning, but at least he stopped screaming. I looked back and saw Lil hovering over her ex like a buzzard waiting for dinner to die.
They're mine. You gave them to me.
I gave you a lot of things. The stones were for you only as long as you were with me. When you left, you forfeited all rights to them.
Okay, Lil, so you're a high priestess witch. I get it.
A witch? Do you see a broomstick anywhere, Mr. Strange? I am Lilith, first woman of the Bible, queen of the Gregori, mother of the Nephilim, goddess of the succubi. Where are my stones, little man?
Yeah, right. Those are all that's keeping me alive right now.
They will be your death if you don't tell me where they are.
Wait a minute, sister. You can't kill him.
Oh? And why not?
That's not what you hired me for.
Strange. You're dumb as a Happy Meal. She hired you because she couldn't find me. I was cloaked against her. You were not. You led her to me.
Wrong, boyo. He led me to the stones. Finding you is just a delightful bonus.
You played me for a fool, sister. I don't care which part of hell you're the queen of, no one plays me for a fool.
Hold that thought, Mr. Strange. Lover boy, I'm bored now. It's time to give me what is mine. Search his pockets!
I already did.
I'm not talking to you, Mr. Strange.
From the shadows came two misshapen beings. They stood about 3 feet tall, with claws larger than table saws. Their heads were about twice the size of their bodies. Their mouths couldn't close all the way because of two rows of long, jagged teeth.
Get them away from me!
Relax, darling. They've been fed.
The little bald abominations moved so fast it was impossible to watch their claws. After a few seconds, the imps came up empty-handed. I told you, his pockets are empty. He must have dropped them somewhere.
No, they are still here. I can smell them. If they are not on him, they are in him. Did you swallow them?
He didn't say anything, but the look on his face told me Lil had guessed right.
You didn't really think that all the way through, did you?
The imps drew back, almost disappearing completely into the shadows. At first, nothing happened. All we could hear was the ex's labored breathing. But then... It looked as if he was collapsing in on himself. His chest folded in as if two hands were squeezing it in the way you or I would squeeze a piece of fruit. As we watched, a tear sliced his chest and continued down through his hips. Then, slowly, the tear started to fold out. His ribs opened up like someone prying them apart with a crowbar. The sound of breaking bones and tendons pulling from muscles filled the room. This went on for a long time. I saw veins pulled and stretched until they tore from the stress. As each vein ripped, a fountain of blood jetted out of the new wound. All the time, this poor bastard felt everything. He watched terrified as his insides became his outsides. I was positive it was Lil's magic keeping him alive, because no mortal could live through that.
Kill me! Oh, God, just kill me! Ah! Kill me! Oh, God!
His stomach churned and then tore open, spilling its contents on the floor. In the center of the viscous liquid were the three red stones.
Yes. Here they are.
Please make it stop!
Soon, honey. Strange. How dare you?
You got your stones, Lilith. You were just torturing him for the sake of torture.
Mr. Strange, you could join him with just a word from my lips.
If you know as much about me as you think you do, you know you don't have that kind of power over me. She watched me, deciding to test if my statement was true.
You are very arrogant for a hairless ape.
Lilith, if you think I'm hairless, you should see my chest. And I'm not arrogant. Well, maybe a little. But I do have some well-placed friends who keep me safe.
So, the stories about you are true, Mr. Strange. You were hired to return my stones, which I now possess, and you were well paid. I think our business is finished, unless you can think of anything else.
I didn't like that she had played me, but there was little to do about that now. Well, other than the hunk of rotting meat in the chair and the burnt carcass on the floor, I'd say it's a wrap.
I will call on you again someday. Feel free to call on me if you think of anything you might want.
When she looked at me like that, I felt a rush of blood run to the part of my body that makes it hard to think about anything in a rational way. I wanted to reach out to her and hold her, fall in love with her, follow her anywhere she wanted me to go. And then the sight of the putrid mass of tripe on the floor brought me back to reality. I don't know if I could afford one of your markers, Lilith.
Perhaps one day we will find some mutually beneficial arrangement?
Perhaps. What about these two and the others?
Don't worry about that. These old warehouses have faulty wiring. Very dangerous. They burn easier and faster than yesterday's newspaper.
And with that snap, Lil and her imps were gone. The warehouse did burn that night, as did the Chinese restaurant next door and the dry cleaners next to that. They blamed it on faulty wiring. About a week later, I was headed out for the night when another woman showed up in my waiting room. She was attractive, red lips, olive skin.
Have you ever heard of the White Lady?
I sat down. It was gonna be a long night.
Tonight's episode, Harry Strange number 101, Comes a Hero, was written and directed by Tony Sarecchia and produced by Brianne Ahern and Tony Sarecchia. All material is copyright by Tony Sarecchia and used with his permission. Featured in tonight's cast were Kellen Stenton, Parisia Johnston, Jason Tyler, Ray Saltarelli, and Sylvia Gallen. Harry's theme music was written and performed by Lance Hogan and is copyright by Lance Hogan and used by permission. Contact Lance at his email at hauganl@yahoo.com. Incidental music was written and performed by Kevin MacLeod and is copyright by Kevin MacLeod and used by his permission. Visit harrystrange.com to keep up with the latest news and information on everyone's favorite private investigator. Send your questions, comments, and suggestions to producer at harrystrange.com. For the Harry Strange Radio...
You've come out to CITR Shindig each week to hear the bands duke it out to be the winner of their night. Now, come out to hear the winners compete to make it to the finals. Each semi will feature three of your past winners, with the winners of the semifinals guaranteed a place and a prize in the finals on February 5th. The second semi is happening on Tuesday, January 19th, featuring the winners from nights 4, 5, and 6, Winona Forever, Pale Red, and Walgreen. So come out to Pat's Pub and Brew House at 403 East Hastings at 8 for locally made beer, pool, music, and an epic night. Cover is $6 at the door, and the show is 19+. Check out CITR on Facebook or on Twitter at CITR Shindig for all the details.
Despite boasting a conference record of 11-1, the UBC women's volleyball team is at fourth place in the Canada West League. Will they be able to keep up their run, extend their two-game winning streak, and move up the standings? Or will they fall to the Brandon University Bobcats? Find out this Saturday on January the 16th on 5 p.m. on CanadaWest.ca with live commentary from the CITR sports team.
Welcome, friend. Have a seat by the fire. Make yourself comfortable.
One could not avoid a sensation of prying eyes,
though there's set merely one home on the block of 3113 King's Crossing. The feeling was so inescapable that many chose to bypass this particular block in some vain attempt to avoid the hungry glares, avoid those shadowy observers rumored to dwell here. But there was nothing to be found in plain sight, other than trim lawns under a shroud of autumn leaves here in serene suburbia. Nothing but a century-old home, and adjoining it, an iron-gated final resting place for a local congregation. So there could be little truth, you see, to those tales of menacing voyeurs. For the next-door neighbors of this lone residence at 3113 King's Crossing were each long dead and buried. You're listening to Campfire Radio Theater. Our All Hallows' Eve tale is from the pen of John Ballantyne, an original piece that takes us to a place in suburbia where the grass grows green and horror hides in plain sight. Our play is called Whispers from Hell.
I guess the neighbor's kids are really quick on their feet. Wow.
Let me guess, the old knock and dash routine.
That was really weird, though.
I hate to break it to you, sweetie, but every neighborhood's got a practical jokester.
It's just, they had to be really fast because they were knocking just before I opened the door. I mean,
it's just kids.
You're right.
Unless.
What? Unless what?
Unless it was the neighbors next door.
This is you trying to be cute, isn't it? You're talking about...
The neighbors? Next door?
We're the only people I know living next to a graveyard.
Maybe one of them climbed up out of the ground hankering for some of your cheesy popcorn. You did mention something about cheesy popcorn?
You're cruising, mister.
I'll pause it. I know you love previews.
I don't care about the previews, butthole. I'm headed home now. Picked up a few things at the grocery. Hey, you want to eat with us tonight?
What's on the menu?
Spaghetti bacon Greek salad.
I don't know. I've got to finish this thesis before Wednesday.
You can crash with us. I won't bug you.
I know, but you guys are on the other side of town now. Traffic sucks ass. It'll take forever.
You're such a huge baby.
So how are you doing? I mean, after everything that went down with that perv at your job.
I'm fine. You know they fired that douchebag and all. But our lawyer thinks we have a good case against the company, so I haven't decided if I'm going back to work or not. I mean, they didn't do a proper background check, and he was a repeat sex offender.
He could have hurt you, Megan. I mean, it really could have been... Well, thank God he didn't.
He was a real sicko. Anyway, I don't want to talk about it. Creeps me out with Joel having to work nights. Here's my stop.
Hey, anything weird or paranormal going on in the house?
Are you kidding me, Kayla?
Seriously, I just started this new course in metaphysical phenomenon. We're doing the stuff like you see in those ghost hunting shows we used to watch.
And this is going to help you in the real world. How?
Come on, it's fun. We're doing an investigation at this old hospital next weekend.
What makes you think we'd have... That's weird.
What's weird?
This older lady that got off the bus at my stop? I think she's following me.
Maybe she lives in your neighborhood. How far are you from the house?
Just a block. I know everyone on our street. I don't recognize her, though.
They say on average 6% of the people you see in the city every day are actually ghosts.
Where'd you dig up that statistic? class or Facebook?
Common knowledge, Megan. What'd she look like?
I don't want to stare. She's got a cream-colored coat and a reddish scarf over her head. You remember how Aunt Ruthie dresses?
Yeah.
Sort of like that. Oh, never mind. She's turning into the cemetery next door.
Ooh, that's creepy.
Why is that creepy?
Is she carrying flowers?
No, just one of those old lady purses.
Maybe the reason you don't recognize her is because she doesn't live in one of the houses on the street. Maybe she stays in the cemetery.
Okay, I'm hanging up now.
Jeez, I'm just kidding.
Have fun with your thesis.
Are you home yet?
Yep, walking in the door.
I'll give you a buzz later.
Hey there, Taffy. You miss your mommy, don't you, pretty girl?
Looks like a message from your daddy on the fridge. Sorry, honey. Had to go in early. Second shift foreman called in. We'll text later if it doesn't get too crazy. Looks like it's just you and me, Taffy. If that's the cable guy, I'm gonna scream. They were supposed to be here this morning. Okay, this is not funny anymore. You hear me? You need to cut out these silly little games! This is nuts! Stupid kids.
So, what time does Joel usually get in?
Usually about 8 or sometimes 9 in the morning. It just depends.
Look, I know you don't have time to stay up with me on the phone all night. I mean, you've got your thesis and...
It's not a big deal. What time is it, anyway?
About a quarter till 12.
Wow, it is late. I've got an early class with Professor Snoresville tomorrow.
That's okay. I'm gonna cut the lights out and try to get some sleep.
Are you sure you're okay?
I'm fine. I'm already in bed. I can barely keep my eyes open.
Well, call me if you need me, sis. I've got the phone right next to me.
Thanks. I will. Good night.
Night.
Nobody keeps my feet warm like you, Taffy. Oh, shit. In my house.
You have an intruder in your home?
Yes.
What is your street address, ma'am?
Oh my god, I'm so nervous I can hardly remember. We live at 3113 King's Crossing.
All right, ma'am, give us a moment. 3113 King's Crossing. Where are you located inside the house?
I'm on the second floor in my bedroom. Oh god, he's coming up the stairs.
Try to stay on the line, ma'am. We're dispatching a unit to your address.
He's coming up the hall. Jesus, he's right outside my door. Hurry, for Christ's sakes, hurry.
Try to remain calm. Is there somewhere secure you can hide? Ma'am, are you still there? Ma'am? Ma'am?
Hey, you asleep?
Ma'am.
What the hell, Megan? It's me.
Joel? Oh, thank God.
Ma'am?
You scared the living shit out of me.
Well, who'd you think it was?
I thought it was someone breaking in the house.
Ma'am, are you still on the line? Ma'am?
Oh, God, this is embarrassing.
Ma'am.
I'm so, so sorry. False alarm. It was just my husband coming home from work. Everything's okay.
So, just to clarify, you no longer need assistance?
Right. I'm sorry.
I will cancel the dispatch. If that is all we can do for you, ma'am, please have a safe evening.
I'm so sorry. Thank you.
Wow, you're really shook up.
I didn't expect you.
Yeah, well, the storm knocked out the power. Sat around until they finally sent everyone home.
You want me to flip the lamp on?
No, I'm just getting out of these clothes and I'm coming to bed.
I just get really freaked out here alone at night, you know?
Well, it's okay. I'm here now. You can put it out of your head.
Any chance he might get transferred to Days or something?
I don't know. I wouldn't count on it anytime soon.
That's discouraging.
Sorry. Not much I can do about it.
Sure you don't want to take a shower?
Why? You want to fool around?
You stink, Joel.
I thought you might find my manly musk appealing.
You're impossible.
Yeah?
What are you doing?
I'm trying to comfort my wife. Is that a crime?
I don't think so. Oh, thanks for the wake-up call, Taffy. Where'd your daddy go? Joel? It's cold in here. Hey, where'd you go?
What do you mean? I'm at work, babe.
I thought you said the power was out.
No, we've had power all night. Pretty nasty storm, though. Just now getting a chance to give you a buzz.
You came home last night. Said the power was out at the plant. You came to bed and we...
Did you get into the cooking, Sherry, again? I've been at work all night. Look, I'm gonna finish up logging these reports and I'll be home in about an hour. Can I pick you up something? Breakfast sandwich, coffee? Hey, are you still there, babe? Did I lose you?
No, I'm here. I'm just...
All right, sleepyhead. Just text me what you want. I'll swing by the donut shop, okay?
Okay. Yeah, fine. I'll see you in a bit. Goodbye. What the hell's wrong with me?
Wow, this place is nice. How do you and Joel afford something like this?
Well, Joel's parents helped us out. You know how loaded they are.
You are so lucky.
You can set your bags in this room, but if you need a little more space, the other room is big.
No way! This is friggin' stellar! A perfect view of...
The graveyard? Exactly why our bedroom is on the other side of the hall.
Awesome sauce.
Pretty sure they'll take away your goth card if you utter the words awesome sauce again.
Haha, you slay me.
Okay, there's a bathroom in the hall here that's all yours. Don't flush any tampons like you did in my old apartment, Kayla. The plumbing in this place is pretty old.
One clogged toilet and I'll never hear the end of it.
Here's our bedroom.
Nice! I like the comforter. It's cozy. Hey there, Taffy. How's my little sweetheart? Check this out.
What is it?
It's a little digital recorder I brought home from class.
What are you gonna do with...
Here, speak into the mic.
Kayla, I love you, but you're a crazy bitch.
Seriously, you said you had some kind of weird experience here in the house the other night. Do you care to elaborate?
Maybe later. I've got a job interview this afternoon, so I'm gonna take a quick shower. There's cold pizza in the fridge from that Greek place.
Cool, I'm just gonna record here in the space in the house, see if there are any rescued spirits that want to speak to us. So if there's anyone here that wishes to communicate and make their presence known, this device that I'm holding can register your voice even if I can't hear you. If you want to communicate, just speak into it. Is there anyone here in the bedroom? Anyone? Hey, Megan, do you remember that old house on Gregory Street we used to play hide and seek in?
Yeah, I remember.
This place reminds me of that. Think of all the cool places we could hide.
Kayla, are you ghost hunting while I'm taking a shower?
Yeah.
Well, get out of here.
What's the big deal?
I don't want you in here. Knowing you, it'll end up in class or on the internet or something.
Seriously, Megan, it's not like there's a big market for porn audio.
I don't want you talking to dead people in here while I'm buck naked.
Seriously, Megan?
Get
are you PMSing?
Out now!
Jeez! What's your problem?
Where are you?
On the bus. I'm just about at my stop.
Looks like your sister's got dinner covered tonight.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
Yeah, who'd have thunk it, right? I didn't even know she could cook.
So, listen, are you okay? You've been acting a little off the past few weeks. Have I done something?
No, it's not you. It's just... there's a lot going on with that lawyer and the whole situation with the old job. I keep trying to put that out of my head, you know?
Sure, I understand.
And this job hunting, everything with the house...
What's wrong with the house?
Oh, nothing. It's just... Well, here's the deal. I missed my... Joel, I might be pregnant.
What?
I know it's not the way we planned, but...
That is so freaking awesome! I mean, I didn't even know if we could. You know, the doctor talks
Look,
like...
Look, baby, just don't get too excited yet. Don't tell Kayla or your parents or anyone. Not until we know for sure. A lot can happen.
It's gonna be kind of hard to contain myself, but okay.
I'm going to the doctor tomorrow.
This is like really, really... Man, I'm speechless.
Well, that's a first. Looks like her again.
Who are you talking about?
The little old lady that gets off at my stop. She's headed into the cemetery again. I think I'm gonna go speak with her. Just curious about something.
I can come out and meet you.
Joel, there's something else we need to talk about, and... Well, it's about something that happened a few weeks ago.
Sure. What's wrong? Is everything... Do you want to talk about it now?
Just give me a couple minutes and I'll be in, okay?
I'm so excited. You don't even...
I know. Hi there. I don't mean to intrude.
Oh, you're fine, dear. Just dropping off some fresh irises.
You have a loved one here?
Yes. My husband, Gil, he's been gone well for quite a few years now. I'm Nora.
Hi, Megan. Nice to meet you.
Do you know someone here?
Do I know someone?
Do you have someone buried here?
Oh, no, I don't. I live in the house there, right next door.
Oh, I see. Well, I've always admired that place. It's a beautiful house. Don't think I'd have wanted to live there, though.
Really? Is it because there's a graveyard here?
No, it's because it sits next door to this particular graveyard.
Why? I mean, your husband's here.
I didn't really want Gil buried here, but it was his choice.
I'm sorry. I don't quite understand.
Have you ever felt like something's wrong with this place?
I think so. Maybe.
I've always had that feeling here.
If you don't mind my asking, Nora, why do you think your husband wanted to be buried here? Does he have family?
No, not here. Gil was warden at the penitentiary, you see. The one over there near Ravencrest. He worked there all his life. Started out at the bottom as a corrections officer. As odd as it may seem, I sometimes believe he felt it was his duty to be laid to rest here. As if he could still stand guard.
Stand guard? In the cemetery?
Just an odd notion of mine, dear. I really don't know what his reasoning was. I loved my husband very much, but I won't be buried next to him. Not in this place.
Nora, what do you think there is to guard against?
There are very bad men buried here. Evil men. No one really knows how many unmarked graves in back. Murderers, rapists, all manner of sexual predators. The worst of humanity.
But I thought families were put here. Like, good-hearted, church-going people.
Mostly. But Gil told me once that when an inmate went unclaimed in prison, and there were many, simply because most families wanted nothing to do with those types, that they would often bring them here, bury them secretly in unmarked plots, sometimes dumping them on top of each other.
Oh, God.
They did that for nearly a century. Uncounted bodies. The things Gil used to tell me about those men that ended up in the cemetery. Well, I shudder to think what he chose not to share.
Don't you think their spirits have moved on? I mean, they're not here anymore. They've stepped into the light or whatever is on the other side.
My dear, there was no light at the end of the tunnel for those men. If you had committed the crimes that they had, and there was no doubt in your mind that the only thing that awaited you on the other side was damnation, wouldn't you hold on to this world with everything you could muster?
But they're dead. And even if there are ghosts, they can't hurt us anymore.
I wish I could be so sure. Well, it's getting late, and I'd better get back to the bus stop. Take care, dear.
Wow, what's cooking?
Here, let me get your coat.
Hey, I've got dinner ready. Just grab a seat at the table.
I know, that's amazing.
You didn't tell her, did you?
No, I didn't breathe a word. Listen, I really hate to do this, but I've got to go back into work.
What? No.
I know, terrible timing, right? Listen, there's this new guy in on second shift. He's got his hands full. Good news is, once we get him trained, I can be here with you at night.
Well, that would be terrific.
Yeah, so we'll talk about our exciting news later, okay? Love you, hon. I'll text you later.
Who taught you how to cook?
Well, when you're off at school, you learn these things. Pull up a chair.
We hardly ever eat at the table. What brought this on?
I thought we'd celebrate. Joel had some good news on the job front.
Right.
I also have some good news. I caught something very interesting on that little recorder. Here, have a bite. It
smells good. Chili?
It's kind of hot, but not too spicy. Joel liked it. I added a little something extra. See if you can figure it out. I'll go grab the recorder.
Hello?
Hey, what's shaking, Bacon?
You're completely ridiculous.
Why? What have I done now?
Okay, I don't know what you're up to, but haha, very funny.
So, I'm just gonna pretend like I know what you're talking about. Anyway, I'm at the quick stop. Do you want me to pick up something?
Kayla, this is not one of your better pranks.
Well, if you don't need anything, I'll be there in an hour or so. The real reason I called, though, is I talked to our parapsychology expert here in class, and we spoke a little about the dream you were telling me about the other night. You know, the one where Joel comes home and you find out the next morning that actually Joel didn't come home that night.
I told you not to be sharing this stuff with strangers.
Relax. I didn't use your real name. So anyway, there's this actual phenomenon associated with ghostly doppelgangers that can appear in your dreams or even right in front of you in broad daylight. They usually take the appearance of loved ones or family members to gain your trust, and then they do some... well, really twisted stuff.
So you're saying there's, like, a double of Joel walking around that's...
it could look like Joel or... anybody.
You figured out that extra ingredient?
You startled me.
Who are you talking to?
I'm not really sure right now.
I like to leave a little piece of myself in everything I cook.
That sounds kind of weird.
Oh, Megan, you silly girl. I'm talking about extra love. Who's that on the phone?
Just a friend of mine.
Megan, you need to get out of there.
Where are you going? You haven't even finished your dinner yet. Is something wrong?
No, it's fine. I just... there's something I forgot to do. Where's your car, Kayla? I didn't see it parked out on the street.
God, Megan, get out of that house!
It's in the shop.
That old beat-up Chevy. It's always in the shop, isn't it?
That's right.
Megan, I drive a Honda. Get out of that house. I'm on my way. Stay on the line.
Not a good idea to go out. It's not safe for a young woman in the city after dark.
I guess you're not really safe anywhere, are you?
Why do you keep backing away? We're sisters, Megan. Don't you want to spend some quality time with your sister?
Oh, Chris! It's pitch dark in here.
Oh, the wiring in these old houses. Lucky the place hasn't burned down.
Meg, get out of there! Are you okay? I can't believe what's going on. I don't know what's happening. Stay on the line with me. I'll be there in a few minutes.
These modern phones are not very dependable, are they? No use, Megan.
The deadbolt is locked, and I have your key. Don't worry. You're safe in here. It's just you and me. Taffy? Come on, get out of here. Get out.
I'll make a deal with you, Megan. If I can't find you, I'll leave you alone. But if I do find you, then I'll have you all to myself. Is that a deal?
Oh, my God.
There's so many things we can do together that only sisters can do. So many games we can play. You see, we've been watching you for a while now. I guess you can say we know you intimately.
You want to communicate, just speak into it.
Never alone here.
Is there anyone here in the bedroom? Anyone?
Just like your sister. Such a pretty little baby.
This is crazy. This is just... Wait a minute. I got bars on my phone. Maybe I can reach somebody. Come on. Come on. There's something behind me. Oh, dear God. Oh, no.
Found you.
Been listening to Campfire Radio Theater. Tonight's tale, Whispers from Hell, was written, directed, and produced by John Ballantyne. Featured in the cast were Rachel Arlen, Shelby Sessler, John Patrick Melendez, Diane Gilbert, and Tanya Milevich. Music by Kevin Hartnell. Sound design by Kevin Hartnell and John Ballantyne. Additional sound courtesy of Free Sound Project. Mixing and post-production by John Ballantyne. Share the horror and visit us at CampfireRadioTheater.com and on Facebook at Campfire Radio Theater.
Attention grad students, share your research, find out what's going on in other disciplines, approach your work from a new angle. Check out Fire Talks, the interdisciplinary discussion forum sponsored by the Research Commons at Kerner Library. Visit bit.ly/firetalk for more information.
Tune in every other Sunday from 3 to 4 p.m. for Blood on the Saddle with your host, Dan N., for real, authentic country.
And you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. It is almost 10 o'clock, and it's time for Canada Post Rock with John. That's all the time that we have for Scald's Hall this